This is Spring, a Dialogue, an archived broadcast, The Nature of Things, from April 19th, 1991.
John, what would you answer someone who advanced the thought that you are obsessed with spring?
I'd say you're right. Next question.
Why?
Why what?
Why this passion for spring?
Well, I'm old and I tend to drift off during the winter. Spring wakes me up.
Well, you ought to have a better reason than that, one that is more oriented to your listeners.
Well, how about this? There are a lot of other old people out there who tend to drift off during the winter. They need a shot of adrenaline, too.
Come on, be serious, will you?
Okay, it all started when I was a boy. I had bad tonsils.
Now, wait a minute. Is this more of that sarcasm?
No, this is serious. I had bad tonsils at a time when my mother was suffering from a life-threatening stomach ailment. Both problems, hers and mine, required surgery. It was about the time of Easter week, and both of us ended up recovering from surgery. My principal problem was sore throat. Hers was the need to remain quiet and allow time for healing. That meant she couldn't garden or do any of the things that usually brought joy to her life at that time of the year. She read a lot and basked in the warmth of a surprisingly mild, sunny spring, but she was bored and restless. Then she had a brilliant thought. I could bring spring to her. So I chewed aspergum to alleviate the pain, and I scoured the countryside for items that I thought she'd enjoy. Wildflowers, sprigs of shrub, and tree foliage, fungi, eggshells, whatever I could find. I also had a pair of 39-cent Japanese field glasses and a copy of Reed's Handbook to the Birds of the Eastern United States. So I spent a lot of time looking for colorful birds whose beauty and antics I could describe to her. I'd bring back all the things I could carry and all of the experiences I could remember, and we'd talk about them. It was a great sharing experience, and it also helped me to focus on what wildlife was actually doing and how and where plants were growing. She never complained at the increasingly long periods of absence as the season advanced. She'd read poetry or the Bible or some of her favorite nature writers. When I got back in school, I had to concentrate my activities after school or on weekends, but the process continued, and my satisfaction with spring grew. Probably my choice of life's work was fixed during that special year. Certainly spring assumed a dimension in my life that no other season would equal. It was an expanding world out there, and I was growing to increase my capacity to encompass what I could of its limitless potential.
Well.
Well what?
Please go on. I hadn't expected quite so moving an answer, but I'd kind of like to know if your mother recovered and if you continued the sharing in subsequent years.
Yeah, it took some time, but she eventually became her old active, energetic self again. I guess I'd have to admit we never really duplicated that year, but I had learned that I could bring anything that interested me to her. She never turned up her nose or said, "Get that ugly thing out of here." In fact, she could usually find something of beauty or utility in any of God's creations, as she put it. I began to look for beauty of form and function and purpose where I had seen only curiousness before. I'm no poet, but my mom was, and the things that inspired her to rhyme inspired me to describe and picture, and most of all, to share.
You know, John, a thought has just occurred to me. In a way, your listeners or the readers of your newspaper columns have replaced your mother as a motivator to share your experiences with nature.
Yeah, I guess you're right. Thanks, Mom, and thanks all of you out there who make my day by commenting about what you hear on the nature of things or what you read in things of that nature. I'd also like to thank Brian Fisher for helping me with this dialogue today. This is John Weeks saying thanks for listening. Tune in next week and keep it natural.